Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, y'all? You know what time it is. You know who that is. That's Chuck D and Public Enemy. This is your boy, Citizen Payne, Eric Citizen Payne. And what I want to say to you guys, welcome, K-Sun and Friends. Wednesday night, we're live. And yeah, and it is the beginning of the second impeachment trial of Donald Trump. And what a spectacle it is. You know, I'm sorry, I'm laughing at myself because it is certainly a spectacle. The whole presidency of Donald Trump was a spectacle. And, man, white male privilege is a mother, you know? Boy, them white boys are able to roll up there in the Capitol, wreck stuff, talk about we're the people, this is our house. But what about the rest of us people whose house it also is? Just wrecking stuff up. But man, that's white male privilege to the extreme, isn't it? And just walk away afterwards. Wow. You know, let me give you a little bit of history about me. And the thing is, that I was brought up by people who believed in this system, who got involved in this system to fight for their rights, black people. I'm black, in case you didn't know. And I come from my family members of people who believed in the upwardly mobile upliftment of yourself. Work hard, you know, like many black people, but certainly my family would believe in working hard, getting and also getting involved in the system, you know, voting, the movement and freedom, civil rights for black people, as you guys have heard me say a lot of times before, that my father was involved with civil rights at a young age, got involved as a youth, met Dr. King, worked with him on occasion, met Medgar Evers, worked with him, you know, in the overall broader perspective of the fight. And Thurgood Marshall, and the history goes on, and that's kind of what started them being in public service, as many people of that civil rights generation. So I was brought up to believe in the system, believe, you know, you got to make the system work, make it live up to its words. Like, you know, our brother Byron, the historian, Byron, going to bring him in a minute. He always talks about the Constitution and all of those things and all of these rules that have been set forth, but in this country, and how you're supposed to take pride in America and all this stuff that they drill into the heads of people who can enjoy the full rights of American citizenship. And I was brought up, you know, like I said, parents, pops was in the whole civil rights era. It was the Kennedy era. So it was that whole vibe of, you know, ask not what you can do for what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. So that's the flavor that I was brought up in, you know, to be proud of the United States. And as the years have gone by and I've seen the hypocrisy, even though my family was involved in politics and things like that, and seeing how much of an uphill battle it was for those very few black representatives or people, black people that got to be into elected office, what an uphill battle it was for them to fight for the people and to get to just equal rights for black people. And so I always saw the contradictions in that. I saw eventually that not only did you need, you know, all of that kind of storybook romanticized thing about representing the people and doing the right thing and being honest and boop, 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 and all that, but you also need money, right? Money and power. That's what makes America run, right? Surely you must believe that, because the guys who wrote this piece of paper made up rules called the Constitution. And I heard it's based on some, you know, European rules or whatever, and Byron can get into that, but made up these rules called the Constitution, rules for a society that we're going to live by, and they made them up. They came up with them. Some are common sense. Some are based in the moral laws of man's Ten Commandments, but a lot of it they made up. They decided to make it up. And so now all these years later, we follow the Constitution. We put the Constitution as a guide for our country. When the individuals who were making up the Constitution, writing these rules, didn't even believe that all men were created equal, even though that's what they wrote on that piece of paper. And they didn't write what they really felt, because then, you know, they can't really hold those positions of being these great men trying to lead a society if they really wrote down that not really everybody is created equal. We only mean, and I guess it's in the Constitution somewhere, I'm sure Byron will point that up too, that you have to be landowners. Certainly you have to be white men, and you got to be men. And so it's not really like it's written on a piece of paper, is it? America is not really what you see in the movies, is it? It's not really what it claims to be. It's not really what it writes down on pieces of paper about itself. It's none of that. And if you look at any of the things that you saw on TV today and how these individuals could go, and I've always had reverence for that, for the Capitol and the building. When you go down there and you go in municipal buildings, there's this kind of, you get brainwashed, I guess is what I'm trying to say, to have a certain reverence for this place. And the people who are respected the least in this country, who receive the most hell, who have the least rights, are the ones that uphold these ideals the most, isn't it? Wow. The people who get the least rights, who are denied the most in this country, have to work the hardest to make this country live up to the promise that Dr. King talked about. Promise. That ain't nothing but a... Anyway, I'm just saying, man. You know, from what I've seen, from being around it, and seeing how people supposed to walk it like they talk it, and seeing how these people really don't hate us. This country was started or invaded by individuals who came over here looking to annihilate the individuals that were already here. Let's stop beating around the bush about this whole America, the beautiful thing. These people don't really believe in democracy. They believe in democracy for themselves. They don't believe in democracy for anybody outside their white supremacist system that they were talking about. That's why they had no respect to run up in that building. That's why they were walking around and acting like animals. They call us animals. They were acting like animals. And if you know some of the details about how some of them, they took a dump. I was going to say take a shit, but I might as well since I said it now. Some of them had the audacity, or the, I don't know if it's audacity, just the what? Savagery, brutality, just the animal instinct to take a shit in some people's offices. Unbelievable. That's how much you hate it. You know, and so nothing is as it seems. They believe in nothing. And when you have a criminal racist in charge, then everything else is up for grabs, you know. Unbelievable. But I'm going to bring the fellas in here. I don't want to get too caught up in it. There's some other things I want to say, but I know they're chomping at the bit because anybody calls himself a patriot is going to want to comment about what they see today. Byron, the legendary historian. What's happening, Byron? How you doing?
Well, you know, I'm down here in Washington, D.C., Eric. My good friend Citizen Payne, and the whole world is watching. The whole world is watching the hypocrisy of a party, an entire party, political party of America, Republican Party, very hypocritic party right now. And the world is watching, and the world is being revealed, just the hypocrisy, the blatant racism, the blatant white supremacy of a party who emboldened, embraced, and now own what happened on January 6, 2021 with the insurrection of our nation's capital by Republican men and women, Trump people, MAGA people. That's how you're going to make America great again? I want to remind people of this one factoid, now that we're here deep into this trial. And this is necessary because the world, not just the world, our nation needs to hear and see the truth in a timeline very much defined minute by minute, how it happened, when it happened, where it happened, and how it got started. So January 6th was not the start.
Right.
The outlay of the entire prosecutorial effort is to show that Trump and the GOP were in lockstep together for quite some time, putting this event together. They all knew it. They all endorsed it. They were all part of it. And 147 congressmen and senators who signed on to it are your co-conspirators. Make no mistake about it. This is some of the best Perry Mason stuff I've ever seen, Eric. Okay? They're kicking their butts. Okay? Let's don't get it twisted now. This is some real good drama. This is high-stakes drama. This ain't a reality show, but this is real life, people. This is what your 74 million people decided y'all were going to vote for this clown? This is what you supported? You're not Americans. You're terrorists. Y'all need to look in the mirror and redefine what terrorism is, because you white people, for the few black people who were up there, shame, shame, shame on you. But this ain't my problem, y'all. This is y'all white people's problem. Y'all better take care of this stuff. Don't ask me to fix it.
Yeah.
Okay.
We should
Eric,
add a disclaimer.
We got our
now.
Own stuff to fix, right?
We'll add our disclaimer now that, of course, we know it's not all white people now. And,
that's right. We know it's not all white people, but come on now. Can we say this? They're Republicans. Can we call them Republicans?
Yeah, we can call them Republicans. That, to me, equals
racist.
Thank you. Racist.
Come on.
Republican equals racist to me. And,
okay.
You know,
so,
some people that I've been friends with.
Well, let's just take the race issue out of it. You know, I don't know how you're going to do that, but one thing is certain.
Say.
We can call them Republicans. We can call them Republicans.
We can call them a lot of things. We can call them a lot of. Let's bring Wayne in. I know he wants to jump in here since he's been covering Donald Trump from his New York days when him and my mom were covering at WLIB, the legendary newsman, Wayne Gilman. Wayne, how you doing this evening? What say you?
I'm hanging in here, man. I'm thoroughly disgusted. I sense your anger and angst about what's going on with respect to the Republican Party. I still believe that as a nation, we're still going to have a two-party system. But you got 17 idiots there at last count who are just ignoring, pretty much playing the same game Trump has been playing the last 4 years. Acting like as if there was no insurrection on January 6th and that the former president did not do anything or was not involved in any kind of deliberate way to inspire that crowd to act the way they did on the 6th. And, you know, it sort of reminded me, and maybe it's because I've covered so many different things, but I'm just reminded and this is a bit off the beaten path, but there was speculation for years about Minister Louis Farrakhan's involvement in the murder of Malcolm X. And, you know, the one thing that I will say with respect to when I juxtapose a situation where somebody's trying to hide something and just standing by a particular narrative, hoping that if you say it long and strong enough, people will believe it. But the thing is that I just remember that at least the minister had a moment of clarity after much media speculation and involvement and you know, asking, well, did you cultivate the atmosphere that led to his murder? I'm talking about Elhaj Malik Shabazz. And eventually it came out. And I give him credit because he realized some of the things that he was saying passionately, you know, eventually came to the fore, and he couldn't get away from that. In this situation with Trump, he's been talking this expletive since before 2016. You know, I referred to the late Wayne Barrett with all the pieces he did for the Village Voice. This man is no saint. And anyone who's been covering the way the three of us and your late mom when she was here, covering this administration, and we, you know, there were moments when we were all feeling the vitriol and the anger and the rage about the different things that he was doing. And they don't, these Republicans don't want to, I'm not saying all, but the majority that seems to support, let's call them Trumplicans, they just seem like they're in a different orbit altogether. They don't want to admit that this man cultivated the atmosphere that led, and there's so much empirical evidence now. I didn't get a chance to watch all of today's proceedings, but the first day, I mean, bang up job. You couldn't find somebody better than the managers that were involved in presenting this case, and even, you know, the conservative press was highly critical of the two lawyers that Trump got at the last minute. You could tell it was the last minute job. Didn't have much of a defense. You know, one person looked like as if he was taking us down memory lane when he was talking about Senator Dirksen. And the other one had this fiery rhetoric, and that was supposed to cover up or counter all the stuff that was being presented by the Democrats. And I'm just saying it. You know, even Trump knows he's lost in this one. But it's just how history is going to look back at this the same way they look back at Hitler and they look back at other situations where people have died for no reason at all because they were espousing a political belief. And I would like to think that at some point, but I don't, just knowing what I've read, what I know about Donald J. Trump, I don't know what that's all about, but, you know, it seems like all the who support him have to put that in like as if he's some god or something. But the bottom line is, man, he needs to be locked up. He's got blood in his hands. There are people who would have been alive today had that insurrection not started. And yeah. You know, that's the thing that's, you know, despicable about all this.
He needs to be held accountable, and that's what I'm talking about, man. You mentioned two realities. Yeah, there's two realities because these people, like I said, the whole thing, America, the beautiful, and everybody come here and be diverse, it's bullshit to me. These individuals never intended for it to be that way. If it was up to them, if they were left to their druthers, as the saying goes, we would still be slaves, I believe. We would still be slaves and or close to it. And we're almost that now, and they found a way to make many of us slaves already. I'm speaking through the school to prison pipeline, how they keep finding ways and try to come up with rules and laws in all of these state legislatures. And so to me, what needs to happen is that the same things that they've been doing in terms of how they embed themselves, the ones who are not the ones who have nefarious intentions, let's say white people, the ones that, and they embed themselves in our society, just like they embedded themselves in law enforcement, in the military and in the Capitol Police, to then to turn on people and to you know, be traitors. So to me, the only way to fight a system like that is to also be embedded in the system. And so our people need to be more embedded in the system. And we were and are embedded in the system, black and brown people, because we're clearly on the front line, right? We're the people who do all of those jobs that make the engines of this country turn. And so the more you become embedded, but we need to be embedded in systems of power, and to understand that if we do make certain moves like the other side made, then it should be coordinated like the other side does. All I'm saying is that we need to become as passionate as they are. And the little short, angry lawyer, the defense lawyer for Trump last night, was on Fox, and he was saying, you know, our supporters, Republican supporters, are a lot passionate. They're mad because our supporters are passionate. Talking to, or our supporters are willing to take action, or whatever the guy was saying. And he's right, to a certain degree. I think Democratic supporters are law-abiding citizens. Obviously, that's why you saw really the Black Lives Matters rallies not turn violent until they were provoked by individuals that go undercover. But what I'm saying is that we need to be more embedded throughout the system, you know, within the career professionals of government, like many of them are, that can counter some of the undercover double agent actions that some people take place, like pulling out people's panic buttons in their office, sneaking in their office and pulling out panic buttons and the like, or giving tours the day before to individuals. We need to be as embedded as these individuals are. And I say that, and I want to segue, because one very encouraging example of being embedded in the system, or us breaking down those barriers, is the fact that we have an African-American Secretary of Defense who ordered the military, and Byron, you could probably expand on this, who ordered the military to stand down so they can go through and find out the traitors within the military that are racist and that would work to overthrow the country that they're sworn to protect and serve. Byron, are you familiar with that order?
Yeah, I'm familiar with it. Our Secretary of Defense, a black man, first time ever, has engaged a cleanup and with a serious
hammer.
Well,
he had a stand down order for the military.
A stand down order, right. And really to do a clean sweep of all personnel who have any affiliation with any of the targeted Proud Boys or, you know, any of the groups that have been identified in this last insurgency of our capital, because they have made themselves known, and there are certain men and women in our military ranks who have gone to that dark side. And I said this a few weeks ago. You all may recall.
They already been, man. This is what I'm saying. That people act like that this stuff is new. They've been on the dark side.
That's right. It's not
our military's been full of
them. Several weeks ago, I engaged in a conversation relative to that saying in the 40s, the U.S. Army, they put you in the Army, you're going to be one mean green killing machine. Now, see, let's dissect that for a second. Because at the point at which we're talking about, these are some of the men and women right now who are engaged in the MAGA moments. They came out of that post-World War II notion, went through the Army, Air Force, Navy, Marines, came out killing machines, and the people who they were trained to kill were brown people. Vietnam, Korea, Iran. I mean, Iraq. Look at the people who are being killed. Pakistanis, Afghanistans. These are brown people. So when they come back home and they're militarized, indoctrinated to be one mean green killing machine, who is the first person they're going to look for when they get into a blue uniform?
Yeah, certainly after the Vietnam era. In the Korea War.
That's right. And exercise. That's right. And we have to understand, just like the impeachment managers laid out a timeline significant to Trump engaging in exercising and inciting these people, not on January the 6th. This started at the election. And we have to understand that timeline is significant because, see, that's the way history is told through timeline. It's got to be understood about the timeline. So now you understand why these same yahoos, when they come to D.C., what do they see? A lot of black people. What happened the week before? The day before the insurrection? We took Georgia. You have to connect the dots now. This is as much about racism as it is about a political coup d'etat.
It's always been about racism,
you know? And you cannot
And the thing is that I just want to say is that, you know, they are seeing now that we are rising in ranks. We went through 8 years of Barack Obama. We now have the first black female vice president. You know, Joseph Biden's political capital did not happen until James Clyburn anointed him and swept the South. And they see how serious we could be about, no matter what they may do in terms of destroying the postal system, you know, coming up with all sorts of suspicious arguments as to why, you know, certain votes should be thrown out and say that they're voting for dead people. You know, the thing is changing now, and this is why they're so visceral, all those who cannot accept change, and life is about change. You know, and I heard you, Eric, say earlier about the whole business of immigration, and it struck a chord with me, because I have to honestly say that I do
refresh my memory about the immigration point.
No, when you made reference about slavery and how this country has always been, you know, built on the dynamic, and I understand that this has been not just America, but it's been throughout the world. We had slavery in the Caribbean. Slavery, wherever slavery could exist, certainly in the continent of Africa. But I guess the point I'm trying to make here is that, you know, my forefathers, my grandmother in particular, you know, because my grandfather on my paternal side had gone back. He couldn't take it as a white man staying in this country, going through the vitriol he went through. But the bottom line is that I really respect the idea that there was a concept where this American experiment would work out for people who'd look like us. And it just seems like every generation, you know, it just doesn't move as fast as it should. That's the problem. But when I juxtapose what goes on from where my ancestry is,
never meant to move for I mean, you got to look at the, I mean, you know, I know what it says on the piece of paper, but the intent behind it, which is you guys are talking about timelines show intention. And the intent behind that, it was never meant to work for us. That's what I've come to believe now at this point, at this age of my life, that you know, they're full of shit. I mean, you know, my first real inkling of the system was when my dad explained to me the Electoral College when I was like 18, 20, when he explained to me how it really worked with the Electoral College. I was like, oh, that's bullshit, man.
It is.
It is.
And it needs to be disbanded. It needs to be destroyed. But, I mean, what we, you know, to me, this is why what Byron said a moment ago about Georgia being so significant, I think we're woke now. I think that, not to say that the previous generation wasn't, but I think, you know, people have got to see after what we went through the last 4 years that, you know, and I applaud that at least some deliberate effort is being made to weed out these white supremacists and paramilitary organizations. But that should have been, you know, started long before this. Long before this, because the FBI has been charting some of these people and have given testimony over the years.
You know, there's a lot of started long before by who? By the FBI? By people? I mean, I understand what you're saying. I'm playing devil's advocate because, of course, it should have been started long ago by someone. But then we also know that there's a reason why it wasn't started, right? I mean, it's the inside baseball.
You know.
It's basically what I'm saying. I mean, these people, that's what I mean. They're full of it. And you have some that aren't full of it, right? I'll stipulate that. But their efforts are being thwarted by they're probably in the minority, as were abolitionists were in the minority back in the day. Non-slave-holding white individuals back in the day were probably the minority. And also, too, even in the defense of people getting caught up in what society is doing, right? I would allow for that. That's human nature. So if everybody has slaves, maybe you might be an individual, if you're not in the slave, let's say, casting category, okay? If you back in the day, you would not have been able to be cast as a slave, and you would have been cast as a slave owner. Perhaps when you're looking around, you might think, well, maybe, yeah, that's everybody else got slaves, and they got farms, and I need some help around here, and society is doing that, so you make it okay. And I assume that's the we've heard that that's the exact defense of a lot of these insurrectors that broke into the Capitol. In some of the tapes they played today, how some of them say, well, our president told us to do it, and we were coming, you know, so they all get caught up in that mob mentality. Everybody's doing it, so I'm going to do it too, you know, and the hell with my innate or my integrity and my honor. Just gets thrown out the window. That's human nature, right? You might be able to understand. You might allow for that, for an individual doing that by human nature or for survival to go along with the crowd. But once you know better, then you know better. And they're trying to make an argument.
They found a lawyer or two, a number of professionals who were participants in that activity, and they, you know, were very open about their involvement, and I think only now that they've been rounded up and facing prosecution. But, you know, again, I go back to the whole point of ignorance here. You know, we're dealing with a segment of our society. A, they feel threatened because they see that their privilege is no longer as accessible to them, or it's slowly waning, if you will, you know? And the other thing is that they're not ready for change. They knew what they did here, and I agree with you, man. I mean, what they did to the Native Americans, and then when we came along, and everyone else, everybody's got a story. The Asian Americans, you name them. As long as there's someone of color who doesn't fit the profile of what the aristocracy was way back when, you know, we're all victims of this, but it's got to change. And you know, if we're here to stay, and you know, I tell you, I mean, there's a part of me, you know, I think about dual citizenship, but I, you know, my family put a lot of elbow grease into this country.
That's right.
And
you should reap the benefits.
Like everyone
of that.
Else,
you deserve like everybody else.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, we all came in different ways, but it's still the same, you know. You know, I tell you, slavery today is that I have to pay maybe 10 points in my mortgage refinance, as opposed to somebody who's next to me, limited education, limited wealth, but they get the pass because they look a certain way.
Yeah, here's the thing.
You know, it's all
there's
socioeconomic,
no equivalency.
Today's slavery.
There's no equivalency. No equivalency. No equivalency.
Yeah.
There's no equivalency to what you're doing in slavery. I mean, I just want to stop all the when you do that to me, when people say, when like Ben Carson came out and said, when people are having to get, or someone said getting doses or getting vaccines is like slavery. But there's no equivalency to slavery in the United States that where black people went through. And when people use that flippantly as an example, it makes light of that entire system. And so there's no equivalency to that. There's no equivalency to we all came and we all caught hell coming in. No, no, no. There's no equivalency to the hell that African descendants of slavery have caught in this country. There's no equivalency. There's no equivalency to what black people that came to this country after that, black immigrants like yourself from Reconstruct, from whenever on, there's no equivalent to the hell that you caught. There's no equivalency to that. And I guess the point I'm trying to make is I want us to stop doing that as well, because when we allow that equivalency to be made, it makes light of the horrific and barbaric and devastating things that happened to our people. And also, too, just like with the insurrection here, the strategy is smart because they're trying to say the president misled these Americans and lied to them and yada, yada. And they laid out the tape of showing them saying, I thought I was doing this for the president. But half of that is kind of BS, ain't it? Because just like the lawyers, because people know good and damn well you can't go in and break into a building, right? Half of that they didn't know better, or they were argued to. That's bullshit. All right, they know what they know is they just listen to people that are saying shit that they want to know. They do know. They might not know the full story, and yes, the dude lied to him, but they do know that there's another side to the story. There's another whole bunch of people, 80 million, who don't agree with you. And just like you all feel that you're good on that 74 million side, we feel that we're all good on this side. Now, we know not everybody is, but at least allow for the assumption, for the possibility that people on the other side of the aisle want the same things for their family and for this country that you might want. Maybe it's just a different way to go about it. And that's the thing about it. That's where the white supremacy comes in, because that's the only way we can win this thing or make the points to say, oh, they were mistaken and hoodwinked by Donald Trump. He was the leader. And yes, he was. But you know what? Every single one of them people that showed up in D.C., they knew better. They just made a decision. And the decision, yes, was fueled and aided by some wrong information that they might have gotten. But you know what? The possibility for them to get other information, to contrast the information they had, to try and balance it out, or let's break it down to real simplistic ways to be a comparative shopper, they could have done that. So all of this, so that's why I'm saying this is all BS. It's all racist. We're in the bullshit stream, so we got to get our bullshit paddles out. Fine. But the starting off point is so messed up and so covered up and so built on the foundation that it's just all, you know, either we're going to stop it and restructure it or just keep it going and tweak it a little bit, and then there'll be advancements like every 25 years like it has been.
Well, I don't have another 25 years. I mean, I hope I'm around 25 years from now. I'd like to think there'd be but I thought once we got past the height of the civil rights mess that things were on the up and up. Things have gotten better, you know, but they're nowhere near what they should be. And I'm not looking through this thing through rose-colored glasses, because even if Biden has two terms, let's say, there's going to be still a lot of soil that needs to be swept away from all the craps, because it's multifaceted. It's the media. It's the social media. It's the bigots like the Ted Cruz's and the Mark Rubio's of the world. That they should be embarrassed knowing their ancestry talking that smack. And
they should
those
be embarrassed the way that Donald Trump talked to them, the way Donald Trump treated them. They should be embarrassed. I mean,
exactly.
The guy disrespected his wife for crying out loud. I mean,
thank you.
You know, there's a
thank
phrase
you.
That they call guys like Ted Cruz that just let their wife get disrespected like that. I don't want to say it, but he's sort of like, you know,
hey,
like he's one of them dudes.
everybody's got a price, you know, and I guess he feels that as long as he's down there. Oh, Eric, man, you're a bad influence. I was going to say he's on his knees, you know, but
I think
you all can read the double entendre I'm trying to make here. But the bottom line is, you know, there's so many things that they got to clean up here, man. And I think the onus is with the Republican Party, is with the Lincoln Project. They have the onus of letting their supporters know that they've been duped by a doofus, if you will.
One thing is certain, guys. 1 year ago today, and this is very important to acknowledge why the impeachment trial is so significant. It was 1 year ago today that the United States pretty much informed its citizens that the virus was real. 1 year ago today, guys. And do you know what the figures are today, February 10th, 2021? We have 27,539,217 people infected, 474,034 dead. The national unemployment figures are over 79 million. And then all of these figures are still counting. And the fact, that it impacts African Americans and people of color more than anybody else. Those same figures translate to 85,326 African Americans dead in 1 year. Infected, 4,957,059 people infected and unemployed 1 year ago today. The unemployment in the African American community is almost 15 million people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the impact. That's why we have to have a trial. We have got to convict, not just restrict him from running. And these impeachment managers are coming a hair close to naming every one of the GOP members who are participated in this, and they need to put their names into the record.
They're feeling it now. I don't know if you all saw that last segment a moment ago.
44 senators who voted the other night must have their names in the record and called out loud. They're your treasonous, sedition, anarchists. That's the seriousness of what we're dealing with. So the optics are bigger than just a trial. That's just the beginning. Flushing what needs to be flushed out of this cesspool is going to take a whole lot of Reddit. Okay, guys? Because this cesspool is foul.
Yeah.
Well, the cesspool runs deep, too, because there's a lot of these individuals that,
runs
like I said, they're embedded in the system. Mitch McConnell on down, the McCarthy's, you know, these people are embedded deep within the system. And you know, there's a way of life that they perpetuate, and they want to continue to perpetuate. And that's what they're looking at. They're looking at their survival. You know, the ignorance of the whole thing of keeping people ignorant of how the process works is how, of course, they get over. And like I said, people wanting to be ignorant. But it's just a travesty with these individuals who know better, because, I mean, you know, they already know the information. They know the truth, these elected officials that they have in office that just want to stir the pot, you know, and act like they're concerned and try to play both sides of the aisle, so to speak, be concerned about the insurrection or what it looks like, but also, like you said, vote not to convict, which they're not going to vote to convict them. We already know that. But like you said, if we can get them on the record to be down being complicit or being to condoning the type of activity that Trump was engaged in, I mean, all you got to do is listen to stuff in its entirety. And like you said, the follow the timelines. I mean, really, the timeline started after he won the election, after he got elected president. I think it wasn't too long after that that he was saying, you know, the election was rigged. He was saying it was rigged, and he won. So,
yeah,
you know, the groundwork was, he was laying the groundwork for his reelection, because he knew why would you do that unless you know you didn't actually win the first election? Why would you immediately start laying groundwork and say it was rigged when you won the election? Well, what's to be rigged about it? Unless you're trying to lay groundwork for your reelection, and you know the way that you just won was by cheating. You know.
Yeah.
That's
it.
And everything dude said, like the media finally caught on, or said that everything he says he's gonna do, he says in the tweet or says out loud, which is true, you know. Also, too, the narrative that you know, half the country voted for him. It's not half the country didn't vote for him. Half the people that voted for him, a little less than half. The country is 320 million people, so 74 and 80. What's that? 150? What is that?
About 51% of the population.
So that's 51% of the population voted. That's not half the people.
Combined,
right. So the way they try to...
So you figure they get maybe, what, 24%, 25% of the voters?
And that's where the media comes in to say, well, he's got half the population. But half the population didn't vote for him.
Right,
man.
That's not true.
That's not true.
I'm saying, that's why also, too, these people get riled up. Half of us, yeah, you'd have that loss, motherfucker. I mean, you know, it might be half, a little less, but it's not really half. A, your non-mathematic having skills, having, you know what? And B, it's not half the people. That's what I'm saying. That's why the media, you got to watch them, man, on both sides. People, even on our side, just to make a story.
Yeah.
Or because it's 24-hour news, so they got to try to talk about the same stuff from a different angle and ask questions that really don't need to be asked or have already been answered.
But the onus is still there. I mean, the thing is that we all take a responsibility to uphold a certain standard. At least that's the way I was trained when I got started in it. And I know right now, in the last 30 years, somehow entertainment got involved, and they figured that they'd have people like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham and all those folks that they could turn around and twist things, and they know that the American electorate, for the most part, is ignorant. They don't understand the process, but if they get enough people to think a certain way, then that's all they need. And I just think that we nearly came to bloodshed here. I mean, what happened on the 6th could have been the match that would have led to civil war. You know, we knew something was coming. You know, it was in the wind. It was like on a full moon, how animals act. You could feel the vibration in the earth, that there was some kinetic energy out there just to twist things around. But
it wasn't that deep. They were talking about it on their social platforms. It wasn't all that mystical.
Exactly. And I don't know why it took big business such a long time to check their crap, but they thought they would ride into another term. They didn't anticipate an insurrection. You know, he should have been off Twitter years ago, not months, years ago. You know, I hope that they're enforcing that eviction notice for him in Mar-a-Lago, and I hope they drag his expletive back here to New York so he can face trial, the whole bunch of them, you know?
Well, he's going to have to face trial in Georgia, too. Okay. These are criminal charges, not just impeachable charges. These are criminal charges. Okay. And it's really interesting how one of the Republicans objected today that the record Raskin's managers had implied, and it actually was real, that Representative Jamie Raskin was put into the record that Senator Mike Lee, a Republican from Utah, was accidentally called by President Trump. during the insurrection. He was trying to call Tommy Tuberville from Alabama, and this is what you were objecting to? And so Rashi said,
thank you. Yeah, that was great.
This is not even worth the effort. Fine. Drop it off the record.
Because they're all feeling it now, man. They know that they smell. You know, it's like a cancer, you know?
That's right. Because their names are being called out. They're sitting there in shame, and they need to be in shame, and they need to be called out one by one.
Yeah.
Because they emboldened the president to keep doing what he was doing.
Exactly.
It's called aiding and abetting. It's a criminal charge.
And I don't know about you guys, but I can tell you the one thing that I liked about what's going on, and again, I didn't get a chance to watch all of it today, but the fact is that it didn't seem as long the first day, but having just looked at the timeline now and some of the stuff that just wasn't available to us, you know, the video cameras from the law enforcement elements and stuff like that, he went on for hours before he decided to say something, or, in fact, he didn't do anything. It wasn't until the next day he wanted to make a point that, oh, my group should not have gone out of their way to destroy property. But, you know, Trump was very much in favor of what was going on. But to me, when I saw it the first day on the 6th, I watched it. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. But it didn't seem that long because so much was going on. But this thing lasted well over 6-7 hours and more. And just the poor innocent people who were trying to do their job. One native New Jersey law enforcement figure has gone to his great reward, and he was a Trump supporter. And you know, it's just unfortunate these things happen. You know, and he's acting like as if he's immune to anything. You know, and it just, I don't know. I mean, they're going to have to come up with something other than just the impeachment because, you know, I know that they're working on some sort of censure measure, but it just bothers me that, you know, if he got away with this without being convicted, he is not allowed to run again, and all these idiots that tend to support him, you know, I know they're going to have their hands out when that stimulus money comes, and it's just unfortunate that, you know, people of color who will be participating in the process, because we have to be objective, that they're all Americans suffering through this pandemic that we're going through, that people like your cousin would have to, and I'm not saying this with any disrespect because it's the role he's in, he's doing the right thing. But some idiot living in Kenosha, Wisconsin, who doesn't deserve the money, is going to get paid because of this process. You know? And I'm not just singling out there. You know, wherever these supremacists live, they all are going to collect one way or the other. And it's just unfortunate that these things go on.
Well,
you know, but this is America.
They're getting a vaccine too in these red states.
Yeah,
and especially when you think that their guy, that Trump, was trying to use the vaccine and the virus as a weapon, right? He was saying, you know, the Democratic states don't have their programs in terms of how to deal with the health issues. You remember he was making those accusations that the Democratic states didn't have it together or were squandering money and stuff like that, and was signaling that he might not be willing to give the Democratic states the vaccine as freely as he would have been the red states. So he was doing that. So why shouldn't we do that? I mean, I thought that too. But, you know, obviously whenever you're playing the good character, the hero, you can never resort to the same tactics that the bad guy does, because that
brings
you down to his level. And that's when you need to call in your evil cousin from the hood. That says, damn that. Let's forget what they say.
Right.
Let's play how they playing, you know?
I hear you.
That's what, like I've been saying, we need to get a lot more astute at playing at watching their actions and reacting to their actions as opposed to their words, because clearly their words can't be trusted, you know. Just the whole thing about this country, right? Like, one of the foundations we know is racism. But also, too, when you have a country that you have criminals, got liars, got opportunists, you got people that have a lot of honesty, integrity, but all of that, you might have any one of those combinations in an individual at any time. But one of the foundations of this country is racism and white supremacy. And so you might have the white racism, the white supremacist. He might not be a criminal. You might have a criminal who could be a white supremacist.
Yeah.
Or he might not be a white supremacist. But white supremacy being one of the foundations of this country, that's going to be probably one of the pillars that a lot of these individuals are going to have in common. You know, one of the three or four, when they say basic pillars that a foundation is built upon, that everybody coming from that foundation is pretty much going to have all, or if not all, several of those foundations in their makeup. So it's not surprising that the majority of this country was one time indulgent in racism and white supremacy. It's not surprising that now there's still a remnant of that. It's not surprising that you had 74 million people rebelling or voting to keep that going, and 8,000 people who actually thought it was cool to come down to D.C. and put their words to action to keep their white supremacist system going. It's not surprising. People keep acting like, you know, half the country, yada, yada, shoot. Like I keep saying, the majority of the country, all of the country used to be down with that type of behavior. So just the fact that we have only 74 million is progress, you know. And as those numbers dwindle, trust and believe, the resistance is going to get a lot harder, you know.
Oh, yeah.
People start peeping out their way of life and think their way of life is going away and it's disappearing. You know, they're going to fight for what they think they have to keep surviving, unfortunately. And that's the problem with uneducated, unenlightened, unwilling to just hear, be open to hear other points of view, you know. That's what we have to do.
And therein lies the task for all of us to, you know, as I said, you know, we cannot afford to sleep on this. I mean, it's a perceptual thing. And, you know, media still reaches the vast majority. There's got to be a correction somewhere along the line. Somebody right. in the FCC is going to have to step in there and do something about it, you know. Can't yeah. stay the way it is.
Well, there it is. Wayne Gilman, you get the last word, Wayne?
There it is.
That's it.
Give the people your sign-off, brother.
Well, I just want to say keep hope alive and and I hope to be Tom Brady one day when I come back. Physically.
All right.
Okay.
See you later, Brother Wayne. Brother Byron Saunders, give the people your send-off.
Well, peace and love always. And thank you, America, for taking your sunglasses off. Pay attention, because the truth is being revealed, and it will set you free.
There it is.
Brother peace Byron, and love always.
We'll talk to you again. Okay. All right, peace.
Yes, sir.
That's the legendary Byron Saunders, the legendary historian, the legendary newsman, Wayne. And to me, I guess while we're talking about it, or since we have this platform to talk, I would like to just figure out a way that we can progress forward as a people, right? So we should learn from all of these experiences, from our ancestors, from the people whose shoulders we stand upon, and work out our strategy, perfect our strategy, and how we can achieve freedom and get this oppression off our backs. So that's the thing I'm looking for, to leave people, give people the tools, or give them some little, pull somebody's coat, give them a little bit of information to help them, you know, get back at this system. And so what I would say, like Stacey Abrams had us doing, get involved, go out to register to vote, you know what I'm saying, and run for office, learn the system, learn how politics works, learn how your vote works, take advantage of every aspect and every right that this country has, because too many people fought for it. All right, I'm Citizen Payne. This is Kay, son of Flynn, to my mom, Kay, up on assignment up in heaven. And we're going to keep fighting. All right.